This is a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people.
Let me pray for us as we engage with God's word this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your word to us. Lord, your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Your scripture is God-breathed. It's used for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And I pray that it would do all of those things this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Craig, I raise my kids to know Jesus, but in their late teens or in their early 20s, they walked away from faith. And that was 10 years ago, and it continues to break my heart. How can I pray for a breakthrough? Craig, I feel like I'm in a dead-end job. I feel undervalued and underutilized. I'm frustrated in my job, and it's been that way for ages now. How do I pray for a breakthrough in my vocation? Craig, I've been married for 25 years, and it feels like we're just going through the motions. I don't hate my spouse, but it feels like we cohabit rather than actually love each other and do life together, and it's been that way for a long time. How do I pray for a breakthrough? Craig, my business has been on a slow decline for the last 20 years, and if it keeps going for much longer, I'm going to be in a place of financial ruin. How do I pray for a breakthrough? Craig, there's this friend of mine, and we've been friends for years now. In fact, we were at school together back in the day. That was 30, 40 years ago, and I so want my friend to know Jesus. I so want my friend to know the life that I have in Christ, but they've all this time seemed completely uninterested. I try to bring up Jesus into conversation, they just shut it down. How can I pray for a breakthrough? Over the years, I've had those conversations and many others as well. Many other scenarios from people within our church family or indeed in our community as well. These situations are not crisis situations, they're chronic situations. And last week, you'd recall, we explored how to pray during a crisis. And crises tend to happen all of a sudden. It's bang, and they're here. You remember the story last week of Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, one of Judah's best kings, and those three armies attack out of nowhere. And he's facing a crisis. But chronic issues are different, aren't they? Some of us have been burdened with these kind of issues for decades now. And we want a breakthrough. But how you pray for a breakthrough is different to how you pray in a crisis. And so this morning, as we continue our 40 days of prayer series, I want to teach you how to pray for a breakthrough. And my hope is that as you learn some of this stuff and as you utilize it, that we're going to hear more and more stories here at NVBC in our community of faith about, wow, look at how God brought a breakthrough because I've learned how to pray for a breakthrough. And the passage that we're going to explore together today is one that many of you actually may be familiar with, particularly if you've been with us here at NVBC for longer than, 12, 18 months. It's from the book of Daniel, and if you've got a Bible handy today, I want to encourage you to turn with me over to Daniel chapter 9. As I said, Daniel was a book that we studied in depth last year. And for those of you who were part of NVBC last year, you'd recall that the book of Daniel is written in the context of the Jewish people being in exile in Babylon, a whole lot of kilometers away in modern-day Iraq. And they, at this point in Daniel 9, they've been in exile for almost 70 years. Almost 70 years. And in Daniel chapter 9... Daniel 9, we read these words. I want to read to you verses 1 through to 6, and then I'm going to jump across to verses 20 through 23. Okay, Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, then 20 to 29. It says, "In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet. We actually read this prophecy a couple of weeks ago now. Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Now jump across to verse 20. He continues on with his prayer. And then it says, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of the people Israel, my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I'd seen in an earlier vision, he's an angel, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to you to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the revelation. And then Gabriel goes on to describe what that word, what that revelation is. I want to put it to you this morning that Daniel puts on a clinic of how to pray for a breakthrough. And he does it with four steps that I want to unpack for you this morning. Now, this is a message, this is an equipping kind of message. My hope is that in equipping you to be able to do this, that you'll take it up. And I know that for some of us this morning, we're actually in the midst of one of these chronic situations. It's been like this for years now, maybe for decades, and maybe this morning is going to be the time when you can learn how to pray for a breakthrough. And my hope and my prayer for you is that you will experience the kind of breakthrough that only God can bring. So let's unpack these four key steps this morning. Number one, you're going to listen to God's word. Go back to chapter 9, verse 2. It says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures. You can underline that. According to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. Daniel's starting place is the word of God. The word understood there in the scriptures in verse 2 is the word bin in Hebrew. And it literally means to study, to discern, to gain insight. It's not one of those deals of, oh, you know what, I kind of picked up the Bible the other day and I kind of closed my eyes and opened it up and put my finger down. Oh, look at that. Look at that. No, it's not that. This is studying the scriptures, writing the word of God on your heart. This is discerning. This is gaining greater insight. Let me be really straight up with you this morning. No pulling punches today. You are never going to pray effectively for a breakthrough until you study the scripture and meditate on the word of God. It's not going to happen. Why? Because you will never have a firm grasp of the purposes and the plans and the promises of God unless you are into this thing, unless you're studying and meditating on the Bible. And I don't mean an approach like, oh, yeah, look, I'm pretty sure it says somewhere in the Bible, maybe 1 Corinthians. Yeah, that'd be it. That in 1 Corinthians, God will never give me anything that I can't handle. No, we're not talking about that. Actually, it doesn't actually say that in the Bible anyway, not even in 1 Corinthians. And like Daniel, if you're serious at praying for a prayer of breakthrough, it starts here. It starts by getting on the same page of God. Actually, it starts with you getting on God's page, knowing his purposes, his plans, and his promises. Today's Father's Day. And for me personally, this is a day. I'm one of those people who Father's Day is bittersweet for. I love Father's Day. I love being a dad. I love my kids, my daughter-in-law as well. It's a special day, but there's sadness as well because every Father's Day it reminds me that my dad is no longer with us. And I've shared here before, that probably the most enduring memory of my father is of I get up at 6 a.m. to get ready to go to school because my school had to travel about an hour to get to school. And I get up at 6, I'm away to the shower to wash in the morning. I'd look down the hallway to my right and I'd see my father on his knees in prayer every morning. And that memory is seared into my brain. And I knew that Dad had got up, I think it was about 4:45 Dad got up, something like that, 5 o'clock. He would have been out for his run. He was an avid jogger. And he'd go out for his run, he'd come back, grab a shower, and then he'd be studying the Word of God every day. He'd be reading the Scriptures, and by the time I got up at 6, he was on his knees in prayer, interceding. And for my dad, it wasn't just, I'll just pick a passage. He would be diligently studying the Word of God and writing the Word of God in his heart. In fact, when Dad passed away, there were a few things that Mum and my sister Estelle and I were kind of saying, okay, who would like that? This little box is something very, very special to me. It means probably nothing to you, but it's very special to me. In it, my dad used to do scripture memory, and in it are these little verse cards. And he used to write verses, or sometimes they'd be pre-printed, and he'd memorize them. And this box contains a whole lot of the verses that he had memorized. There would be in here, there'd be a few hundred of verses. And my dad would go through reviewing those verses as part of his time with the Lord each day because he wanted to write God's word on his heart. He wanted to understand the plans and the purposes and the promises of God. And to do that, he would memorize scripture as well. And on here, there's a little card as to where he's up to. And my father passed away in January 2016. And on the 1st of the 1st of 2016, it actually shows where he was up to. So up until only a few days before he passed away, Dad was still writing God's word on his heart. He was still investing time, understanding the plans, purposes, and promises of God. And my mum does the same thing. I'm very blessed. My parents are not perfect people. Never think that, you know, oh, Craig's got perfect parents. They're not. They're lovely and they're wonderful, but they're not perfect. But one of the things that they did was write God's word on their heart. And one of the consequences of that, I believe, is that they did see a number of breakthroughs over the years in prayer. Now, I love my sister. My sister is absolutely awesome. But I tell you what, that girl went rogue in her teenage years. She went rogue for a while. And if she ends up watching this live stream, I'm sure she'd probably agree with me. She went rogue. But I tell you what, my mum and my dad, they would invest time in God's word and in prayer, praying for breakthrough in my sister's life. And it happened. And as a family, we continue to look back on that series and go, look at the grace of God. That was something. That was really something. So, listen to the word of God. Number two, plead your case. Plead your case. Go and have a look at verse 3. Verse 3 has grunt. There's no polite way to say it. Verse 3 has grunt. There is an intensity to this prayer. This is not one of those, oh, God bless so-and-so kind of prayers. No. This is a drop to your knees, face down, eat the carpet kind of prayer. Have a look at verse 3 again with me. It said, and I've actually got this verse highlighted in my Bible. It says, so I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. Now, various translations, they wrestle with how to translate the Hebrew of this text appropriately. The NIV, it says, he turned his face to the Lord God and pleaded with him. In many other translations, it says, so I turned my attention to the Lord God to seek him in prayer and pleading. The image here really is my face was turned toward the problem, toward the chronic issue that we were facing. My face was turned to the chronic issue of being in exile for 7 years. My face was turned to the business that's going backwards. My face was turned to my marriage, which really isn't all it could be. My face was turned to my kids or my friends who don't know Jesus just yet, but I want them to. That's where my face was turned. But I turned my face to the Lord and I prayed and I pled my case before him. I turned the focus of my attention to God. Before I seek his solution or his stuff or his service, I seek God. In fact, when Daniel begins to unpack in prayer, in verse 4, he starts by seeking God, by worshiping Him, by adoring Him, before he asks for a breakthrough. Have a look at verse 4 with me. It says, "I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps His covenant of love with those who love Him and keep His commands." He starts in a place of worship. He starts by turning his attention away from the presenting chronic issue and turns his face toward God. So as you begin to plead your case, you do so by seeking the King. And with that said, with that attitude in mind, then you start pleading your case. Then you plead your case. Now, caveat here. God is not an unjust judge. Remember the story of the unjust judge that Jesus told? God's not like the unjust judge in that somehow, you know, you've got to pray to prize blessing out of his clutched hands. It's not like that. That's not the way it works. God's desire is to bless and not to curse. But at the same time, this is not the time for wussy, kind of generalized, cruisy prayer. This is raw, this is be real with God kind of prayer and supplication. There is an intensity here. In fact, and I won't go too much into the Hebrew this morning, but there's kind of, if prayer is at this level of intensity, in the Hebrew, supplication, pleading is at this level of intensity. It's the Hebrew word tachanun, which is the word translated for supplication, for petition, for pleading. Tachanun, it amps it up to kind of to the next level. There's the same language in Psalm 28, verse 2, where it says, "Hear the sound of my pleading, of my tachanun, when I cry out to you for help, when I raise my hands toward your holy sanctuary." In fact, for Daniel, he is fasting and he's in sackcloth and ashes. Now, sackcloth and ashes are not something that we do these days. It doesn't really work within our culture. It doesn't have the same meaning. Back then, it was a symbol of mourning and of grief. And so Daniel's in kind of this burlap sack, which would be itchy, and he's got ash on his head. And while that may not translate into our culture, fasting does. Fasting does. Many years ago here at Narara, I actually put together a little booklet, which is out there. In fact, this is so old that it's got our old logo on it, so it must be a good 12 years old, I imagine. I put that together about 12 years ago, and it's entitled Fasting and Spiritual Breakthrough. Fasting and Spiritual Breakthrough. And I wrote that some years ago to help us as a church understand the place of fasting. That it's a spiritual practice that was done back then and is just as relevant for today. And if you are serious about praying for breakthrough, if this situation, this chronic situation, is one that is raw and real for you, I want to encourage you to consider fasting. And I want to encourage you to consider that little booklet, which kind of explains what it's about. Because there's all sorts of misunderstandings. It's not a diet fad. It's not about dieting at all. It's a spiritual practice. And if you want a copy of that, you can put in the comments, you know, "I'd like a copy of that fasting booklet," or, you know, contact church at nvbc.info, email us there. But don't put it in the comments, don't email if you're not serious about this. If you're not seriously going, "Man, I need some help in this area. I need a breakthrough. I'm going to do whatever it takes to see breakthrough. I want to partner with God in His plans and purposes." If that's where you're at, you can put it in the comments section. You can contact church at nvbc.info via email, and I'd love to get you a soft copy of that booklet. Bottom line, when you plead your case before God, this is not just communicating a passing interest. This is the real deal. This is actually serious stuff. Okay, listen to God's word. Plead your case. Number 3, confess sin. Now, I want you to notice here what Daniel does in the text. There is both a collective confession of sin, and there's also a personal confession of sin that he engages in. Have a look at verses 5 and 6 with me. This is the collective confession part. Verses 5 and 6, it says, we have, notice the amount of times that it's a plural, the we word, okay? We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets who spoke in your name to our kings, our priests, our princes, and our ancestors, to all the people of the land. This is a collective confession. Daniel is part of a group of people. And while Daniel himself might be a pretty righteous guy, you remember when we read through the book of Daniel last year, and you look at him and you go, okay, he's not perfect, but gee, he's a godly kind of fella, okay? Even though he's a righteous kind of a person, in prayer, he aligns himself with his people, with the Jewish people. He says, you know what? I am part of them. This is us. This is a we thing. And he offers prayers of confession on behalf of the people. And to use the language of Ezekiel 22:30, he stands in the gap for his people. In Ezekiel 22, verse 30, the people of Jerusalem have sinned. And this is kind of, this passage is kind of predating the exile. And in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, God says, after pronouncing the kind of the judgment of the sin of Jerusalem, he says this, I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so that I would not have to destroy it. But I found no one. One of the saddest passages in the scripture. Here is God looking for someone who would stand in the gap, someone who would confess on behalf of the people, someone who would intercede for the people, who would stand in that gap, and he finds no one. He finds no one. There is a collective confession that Daniel embarks upon here. And this is something that I've done for NVBC, and I know a number of us have over the years. I'm not alone on this one. When we've sensed that maybe as a church we've been going off course a bit, or maybe we've sensed that we're becoming too self-reliant, maybe we've sensed pride kind of kicking in for us as a church. Oh, look at us, you know, we're kind of kicking goals, aren't we wonderful? And there's been some times when as a senior pastor, along with other leaders in our congregation, both those who are, you know, kind of voted in leaders, official leaders, positional leaders, but also those who are providing leadership in other ways, leadership of like our prayer ministry and that sort of stuff. And we've had this sense before God that, oh, we're kind of going off course a bit here, Lord. And we've stood in the gap for Narara. We've interceded and we've confessed and said, Lord, we collectively are going off track a bit here. We collectively confess pride and we collectively confess self-reliance rather than faith and trust in you. My hope and prayer for NVBC is that we would never be a people of whom it would be said, I looked for someone to stand in the gap, but I could find no one. And if you're a leader here at NVBC, I want to encourage you, be a person who stands in the gap. Be that person who stands in the gap and prays those we prayers for Narara. Because I would hate for NVBC to ever be in a situation where the judgment of the Lord would be, I was looking for someone, but I couldn't find anyone who would stand in the gap. Like Daniel, the prayers that have been prayed in that regard in the past have not been judgmental prayers. It's not like, oh, Lord, forgive the rest of those dirty, rotten sinners at Narara Valley Baptist Church. No, no, no. This is an us prayer. This is a we prayer. We have sinned. We've become self-reliant. We haven't been trusting you. Okay. So there is an important place for this collective sort of confession prayer. But there's also a very personal level that Daniel engages in as well. If you go to verse 20, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and making requests to the Lord, to my God on his holy hill. There is a very personal nature to what Daniel does here as well. When we're praying for a spiritual breakthrough, we get personal, we get specific in this realm of confession. And we say, Lord, I confess my sin, my rebellion, my pride, my gossip, my lust, my covetousness, my unforgiveness. We make it personal. We make it specific. We don't just pray those kind of generalized prayers of, oh God, I think I stuffed it up again. I'm real sorry for that and move on. No, be specific. And it's not some sort of process of self-flagellation, of kind of going, oh, I'm terrible, whack. I'm a horrible person, whack. It's not that at all. It's about partnering with the Holy Spirit and saying, you know what? I've been struggling in this area of unforgiveness for a while. And there's this person I really struggle to forgive, and I confess, God, that I've been harboring bitterness. And Spirit, would you help me? Would you empower me? I confess it, and I require your grace. I need your grace. And what happens is the next time you start to feel those feelings of bitterness well up again, that I can almost guarantee the Spirit's going to remind you and say, hey, remember yesterday you were confessing that. And you know that that's self-destructive. Let's partner together to see you become a more gracious person. That's the power of confession. Quick clarification, okay? You need to hear this. Prayer isn't based on how good you are. Okay, breakthrough prayer is not based on how good you are, it's based on how good God is. And in confession, we press into the goodness of God. We throw ourselves on His grace and His mercy. Okay, there's one more step in praying for a breakthrough, praying breakthrough prayer, and that is to persevere in prayer. Persevere in prayer. Have a look again at verses 20 through 21. At some point, I've got to get multifocal glasses because I'm tired of changing glasses. Verse 20 through 21, it says, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin, the sin of my people Israel, making request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I'd seen in the earlier vision, came to me swift in flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. Verse 20 says that he was praying. Verse 21 says he's still praying. You see, breakthrough prayer is not a one-hit wonder. He kept on praying. But we read on, verses 22 to 23. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you begin to pray, a word went out, which I've come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. Now, here's the thing. I don't understand why sometimes we need to persevere in prayer. Gabriel, the angel, says that as soon as Daniel began to pray, a word went out from heaven's court. And I presume that that was the word of reply. That was the answer that God was going to be giving to Daniel. And yet, in verse, I think it's 21, he still has to keep on praying. There seems to be some delay between when the word is given from heaven's courts and when it arrives to Daniel. In fact, in Daniel chapter 10, the very next chapter, we read another situation here for Daniel where there is a delay in the word coming to Daniel because on the way, I think it's Gabriel again, on the way to deliver the word, the angel is stopped. And there is a spiritual battle, it seems, between the angel bringing the word and a demonic prince over a principality, over a region called the Prince of Persia. For those of you under 30, the Prince of Persia is not just a video game, okay, or a movie series. It is a demonic entity over, seemingly, a region. And the image seems to be of the angel from heaven coming to deliver the word. There's this battle that goes on until Michael, who is described as a senior angelic prince in God's army, he steps into the battle and says, nah, that message is getting through, deals with the Prince of Persia, and the message eventually gets to Daniel. Now, I got to tell you, that blows my mind. I don't fully get it, and I challenge any decent theologian to say that they completely understand what's going on in Daniel chapter 10. There is stuff that is happening in the spiritual realm, I think, that is largely beyond us. But for whatever reason, sometimes, in fact, I would say oftentimes, there is a need to persevere in prayer. I don't fully get it. There's two things I do know, though. I don't fully get Daniel chapter 9 and 10, particularly chapter 10, but there's two things I do know. As I said, number one, sometimes, oftentimes, we've got to persevere because of these breakthrough prayers. You see, bondages are going to get broken. Trajectories of destinies are going to get changed. People are going to move from death to life, from darkness to light, and sometimes that's going to take a little bit of time. And so hunker down and keep on praying. And some of you this morning need to hear the words, don't quit. Don't quit. Keep persevering in prayer for breakthrough. The second thing I do know, and as I was preparing for this morning, I had a very strong move in my spirit around verse 23, that some of us this morning need to hear the words of verse 23, "You are highly esteemed." That's a word that the angel brings to Daniel, that you are highly esteemed. Some of you need to hear that today. You see, God is not indifferent to you. God does not hate you. God is not deaf to your cry. God is not blind to your situation. You are highly esteemed. In fact, I am convinced that the lie that you are anything else than a highly esteemed daughter or son of the Most High God, anything less than that is a lie of the enemy. Because you are who God says you are. Your identity is actually found in Jesus. God loves you so much that he would take on flesh and that he would live a sinless life and that ultimately he would die on a cross, nails piercing hands and feet, spear thrust into side, bearing the weight of the sin of the world upon his shoulders, and ultimately rising to resurrection life because he loves you. Later on, the Apostle Paul would reflect in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 8. It says there, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still sinners, while we were still rebelling against God, God said, "I love you so much. Christ is going to die for you. Christ is going to rise to resurrection life for you so that you too can participate in the forgiveness and in the life and in the grace that he has for you." And he says, "You know what? I'm never going to leave you alone. I'm going to give you the presence of my Holy Spirit." The Spirit, the same Spirit that empowered Jesus in his ministry, now resides with you, now resides in you. Why? Because you are loved. You are highly esteemed. Please, friends, family, don't buy into the lie that you are any less than a highly esteemed daughter or son of the Most High God. So where are you at this morning? Where do you need breakthrough? I'm going to give us a few moments to intercede into this today. But my hesitation, I've got to say, my hesitation is this is not one of those give people kind of 30 seconds to a minute at the end of the sermon, bada bing, bada boom, we're done. No. You've seen, I think, this morning that there's more to it than that. But what I want to do this morning is to give you a bit of time where you go, okay, Lord, what is my next step? What is my next step? Maybe it is actually listening to God's word. Maybe it's actually getting into the scriptures and seeking to understand the purposes and plans and promises of God. Maybe that's the next step God's calling you to in this sort of prayer for breakthrough. Maybe it's pleading your case. Maybe you've settled for just kind of this, I don't know, wussy kind of approach to prayer and, oh, yeah, God, it'd be really good if you did something about that. No, maybe God's calling you to move it from prayer to pleading, to supplication, as we talked about before. Maybe it's a time of confession. Maybe you're going to confess stuff in your own life, or maybe you're going to actually stand in the gap for this other person. Job did it with his kids. Maybe God's calling you to do it for yours. I don't know. Or maybe God's just saying to you this morning, I just want you to persevere. There's stuff that I'm doing that you are not aware of. There is a complexity to this situation that is beyond you, and I'm going to call you to trust me and keep persevering in prayer. I don't know. So what I want to do is to ask God to give you a bit of a nudge right now. So let's bow together in prayer, shall we? Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you today. And I know that for many of my brothers and sisters, we need a breakthrough. Some of us have been facing chronic situations for decades now. And I pray, Lord God, today that you, by your Holy Spirit, right across the coast, wherever the live stream's going to today, that you would give us a nudge about what our next step is. that we would be a people who listen to your word, a people who plead the case, a people who confess sin, a people who persevere in prayer. God, would you lead us? What is the next step as we pray for breakthrough in these many and varied situations? Let's just give the Spirit a bit of time to speak into our hearts. Father, I pray that you would give us the courage and the perseverance to step into that which you have given us a prompting about today. Lord, might we be a people who see breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough, Lord, as we partner with you in prayer. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
This has been a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people. To continue the conversation, we invite you to join us Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. or on our website at www.nvbc.info.